Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today is Marsha Urshagi-Hames, who is the Managing Director for Strategy and Learning Development at LRN. In addition to her work there, Marsha holds a PhD in Educational Technology, where she focused her research on the role leadership plays in enabling organizational culture. Marsha, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here, Adam.
So let's start about adult learning. What is it that are some of the things that everyone in compliance needs to know about what makes adult learning different than, say, what their kids are learning in school?
Well, I think that one of the critical components that is often missed when developing a compliance learning strategy is, have we taken the time to know who our audience is? And this is really important when it comes to adult learning, because understanding how your audience works, you know, are they in a field? Are they in a coal mine? Are they in retail? Are they in manufacturing? What are their backgrounds that they bring to the business can really impact how the business is developed and essentially acculturated.
That's good counsel. I mean, and what's funny is it's reminiscent of my years in advertising, where we started by defining who the audience was. You know, and how do you recommend people balance it? I mean, obviously you can't have a completely different training program for everybody based on what their job is. How do you try and build the commonalities and yet sort of respect and acknowledge the differences?
Yeah, so when developing a strategy, you want to think about what are your core priorities. So typically organizations have, you know, topics that they want to focus on, and sometimes it's even themes. So a topic could be understanding, recognizing risk around, let's say, what is a gift, what is a bribe. But then you can have broader themes around, you know, promoting more of a speak out culture, or how do we foster a culture of respect and respectful communication and an inclusive culture. So there's themes, and then there's going to be kind of subtext to that in terms of behavior and decision making. So for organizations, it's good to identify what are your core topic priorities, and then what are the segments of the population that you need to connect with, and what are, let's say, the 2 to 3 objectives or learning objectives that you want to convey. So it's sort of like outcomes. So if I'm designing a curriculum and I want to make sure that my manufacturing workforce can walk away knowing these 2 to 3 things that will help them with their everyday decision making.
You know, along the lines of thinking about everyday decision making, there's a lot of research that's shown that even the best of training can get forgotten relatively quickly. There's been a lot of discussion about how much of the weight should be focused on reminder messages. What's your feeling about good frequency of those? How much is enough? How much is too much?
Yeah, so I mean, reminders are important. I think that we're operating in quite a hyper kind of attention-driven society right now. There's just such a volume of information hitting all of us, not just adults, but society as a whole. And it's tough to kind of filter and sift through what is the critical information that I need to perform or to, you know, take a decision. So reminders are helpful, but then too many reminders can also just kind of get lost in the kind of the abyss of content. So it needs to be targeted. And again, going back to the notion of, do you have a theme? Do you have a cadence to your strategy? So for example, you know, identify across the next 18 to 24 months, do you want to have a quarterly or biannual theme? And then around that, you can target gentle reminders. And reminders can also be done through positioning and coaching leaders, you know, frontline management leaders who are in positions of influence, to have conversations with teams and to essentially connect, why are we doing what we're doing, or what is the training about, back to what's in it for them.
Well, and you got into a good issue that, you know, is one that companies wrestle with, and actually also, you know, fits very well with your research, which is the role of the leader in the training. You know, how, what role do leaders play? I mean, in terms of reinforcing the message, and more importantly, what should a compliance officer be asking of their leadership to support the message?
Yeah, so there's a lot of research around this, and I think the headlines also point us in the same direction around the notion of trust and leadership. So if you look at a GRC type of training strategy, and there's some core topics and some requirements, if leaders are not in alignment with those objectives, meaning if the training focuses on ethical decision making around receiving gifts and bribes, yet the kind of "this is how we do things here" tone around the local culture, let's say a micro segment of a company, allows things or leaders turn a blind eye to certain behavior, then that trust gap can cause an issue. And so really leaders play an important role today, a very prominent role in being cognizant of how their behavior, modeling their behavior, amplifying examples of how they take decisions and how that decision aligns with the company's values. That really matters today. You know, leveraging their platform to take a stand and to not let, you know, a poor decision or a poor situation go without at least addressing it and connecting it back to the training. Those things really matter today in today's society and in today's business.
Well, and I think, you know, today, you know, few things stay hidden as company after company. And, you know, all of us have learned, you know, it's good counsel that by acknowledging what's happened, you really, I think you'd agree, every bad thing provides a great learning opportunity for the organization.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a bit about, you know, the top leaders. There's a few of them. They're on board. Then you start getting to the middle levels of leadership, traditionally the most stressed parts of the organization, and in many ways for compliance, the most critical, because the CEO is far away, but their manager is very close. How do you get those folks to support the training in the most effective way possible, and all of the communications from compliance for that matter?
Yeah, so getting them to support, getting their buy-in and getting their alignment to me is a critical success factor. And I know that there's, you know, a lot of research around this and discussion around this at a lot of the kind of, I would say, GRC events. When you look at how behavior change is impacted, there is a social science researcher, Dr. Albert Bandura from Stanford, who had put together in his social learning theory, he had identified some hallmarks of how behavior change happens, and it's very relevant to the GRC space. He said kind of the four principles would be raising or garnering attention. So this would be like the awareness that we do, and then promoting retention and reproduction. So meaning, can I retain what I just learned, and then can I reproduce that decision or that behavior in context? And then finally, the motivation factor. And motivation falls around even the lines of, is this a behavior that's promoted in alignment with the values of the company? Is this a behavior that my leader is modeling? So coming back to the notion of kind of the middle management, line management, frontline management, these individuals not only in my kind of almost nearly two decades in this industry of witnessing this, these are the individuals that have the greatest influence. They are the ones that can kind of rally and be the ambassadors around garnering the right awareness and then connecting the retention, the reproduction back to, okay, team, we've got these objectives. We have these production numbers. We need to get this done. This is how we're going to get there. We're going to follow these processes, but we're going to take these decisions in this way, and let me show you how. And they're going to go through some sort of simulations. It's kind of like, you know, you got to go down a slide and swing on a swing and fall off a few times and learn from it, so that as a group, peer to peer, you can hold each other accountable so that the team collectively can meet their objective. So leaders or middle managers specifically play a very important role around social science, social learning theory effectiveness. And again, this connection is very attuned in the GRC space and in all other industries.
Interesting thoughts there, and I'd say I've learned a lot from the swings, but I'm feeling now as if I should have fallen off the slide a little bit more. That one I was fairly immune from. So let me go back sort of for our, as we're starting to run out of time, on the issue of retention and motivation. You know, a lot of problems, I think, from compliance training is the motivation is often by the employee just to do it, to meet their objective, and because of that, they're not thinking too much about, well, how is this going to affect my job? They're mostly thinking about, you know, how long is this going to take if I'm sitting in the room, and or if they're doing it online. Again, it's how long am I going to take, and how quickly can I click through and pass this thing? How do we change that thinking so that there is greater motivation for the employees? I mean, there's things obviously like making sure that the examples are relevant to their work and give them a little bit of sort of fear of what's possible or not. But are there other techniques you recommend?
Yeah, so in terms of motivation, I mean, remember, we typically are motivated when we see someone being rewarded or being punished for something, right? So that's how we sort of stack up our motivation levers. And this is, again, why middle management or frontline management is so important in setting that bar. But it also, I think there's an onus around what is the learning strategy the company is designing. So if you are deploying very lengthy, you know, sit down learning experiences that are done in silos, that's not as motivating versus if you devise more of a micro learning strategy where you're delivering the learning experiences in different formats, you're blending it. Some of it is discussion based, so you can learn peer to peer and hear the views and the experiences of others. Some of it is just kind of short pop vignettes with no assessment. Some of it is going to be a little more formal. So part of it goes back to kind of this notion of GRC learning strategies today have to also connect back to knowing your audience and delivering the right content kind of at the right time in a manner that is relevant to that audience. They will more likely retain that learning experience because it's relevant to what they're doing, and you're giving them the time and space in between learning experiences to take the practice, which was swinging on the swing, right? So we've got to go through the 20 minutes or the 15 minutes, connect with peers, apply it, you know, go through simulations or real life situations, and then come back and reflect. And that tends to motivate learners to seek more knowledge because they want to perform well. They want to be rewarded for excelling. And so the motivation is essentially intrinsic when you feel that you are growing in your career and, you know, essentially in your value system as a contributing colleague to the organization. So I would just say connecting those dots and integrating it more into your strategy will be more effective.
Great counsel and good reminders. And again, it really, what strikes me is it goes back to the basics of really all communications, making it less about what you want people to do and more about what they will get benefit of from will be a much more effective way of reaching them. Well, Marcia, thank you so much for your time. Thank you to all of you for listening in. I'm Adam Turteltaub for Compliance Perspectives. Have a good day.
Thank you.